God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our Old Testament lesson from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, the first 11 verses. Especially the first couple verses we want to pay close attention to when God, through the prophet, says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." This is the first part of our text. Today we're going to talk about the concept of comfort, which, of course, most of us, especially living in the United States of America, we enjoy comfort. We have a lot of leisure time at hand, opposed to work time. We have a lot of things at our disposal to bring comfort into our lives. And so, what is it that comforts you when life doesn't seem to be going well? When you are having less energy and you need to draw some strength, where do you go to for the source of your comfort? Now, not saying I'm going to name your source of comfort, but let me give you some typical ways that as Americans we go to something for comfort. We have the chocoholic, you know, the one that whenever stresses come, the first thing the chocoholic has to do is reach for the bowl of chocolate. Some like chocolate. Then we have sort of the shopaholic, you know, the one that has to go shopping in the mall, especially during this Christmas time, to alleviate that stress and the burdens of the weight of today's society. Some of us like video games, computer, PlayStation, Nintendo, you name it, you can find it. Some sort of game to entertain and to consume the mind and help ease the burden of the heart. Some find it in relationships with parties. Some find it in various forms of chemicals. Some will even find it in books. Now, whatever your source of comfort may be when times get rough, just think of that for a moment. It might not be part of the list that I've just named, but what would happen if that was your occupation? Think of it this way. If it was chocolate, you'd work at the Fannie Mae factory. You can just picture the chocolate going by, and if it was a real stressful day, your boss yelled at you, you just quick swipe a few extra ones. You'd be the happiest person in the whole world, right? So if you are a shopaholic, then you need to work in a mall, where on your breaks you can go wandering the malls, right? That would alleviate all your burdens and all your frustrations, doesn't it? And the answer to that is no. There are some chocoholics who actually work in a chocolate factory who still have burdens and frustration. You see, whatever our comfort, so to speak, whether it be comfort food, comfort materials, comfort toys, whatever it is, only provides a short-term level of comfort. We always have to keep going back to it. It's not like you can eat one piece of chocolate and be eternally happy, is it? No, you got to eat the whole box, and then after you're done with that box, what? You want more. So it is with things in today's society. We always want more of it. These things we are gravitating toward for comfort never truly satisfy. Well, I think you probably know where I'm going on with this already, is in Isaiah chapter 40. God speaks that word of comfort. That word of comfort that truly satisfies. That word of comfort that you can't buy in a mall. That word of comfort that can never be stolen or broken. That word of comfort that will never be taken away from you or fall apart. And that word of comfort that provides eternal comfort. Not just a short-term comfort. What am I talking about? As Isaiah says in the early part of our text, the forgiveness of sins. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. Now, too often, when we get to the concept of the forgiveness of sin, we sit there and say, "I've heard this all before, Pastor. How is this going to provide comfort for me?" And so to unpack that concept, we have to take a look at what's driving you towards some need of comfort. And typically, it's fear. something is creating that fear within us, that anxiety within us, and is driving us and saying, I need something more, I need something more. So what is it that you fear that is driving you towards some whatever comfort measure it is? Some of us fear the economics, our personal economics, the economics of the world. Some it's security. Some it's the environment. Some it's the way society is going. Some of it may just be that their body is falling apart and their own physical death may be soon. Whatever your fears or whatever your worries are, those are the things that are consuming us and are driving us to find some sort of comfort. The fears and worries is what zaps our energy, so to speak. The comfort factor, so to speak, brings us that energy back. So do we get energy? Do we get comfort from the forgiveness of sin? It depends. Because for some people, they are drawn to the gospel message. Some people understand the message of Christ and Him crucified and understand the message that, yes, their sins have been paid for and this is a good and wonderful thing. And then there are some people who are still driven toward the malls, the chocolate, the chemicals, the toys, the gadgets. Let's get into our text a little bit here. As Isaiah is proclaiming this message to the people of Israel would experience the most greatest devastation possible, the Babylonian exile, where they were driven from their lands by foreign invaders. For those who even put their trust in the country themselves, that trust was broken. They were the ones who broke it. They were the ones who fell away from God, and God drove them into exile for the purpose of them to repent, to be driven back to God. And so what does God tell us? In the beginning part of our passage, we have the phrase comfort and comfort again. It's repeated, and in Hebrew, whenever something is repeated, it's repeated for an emphasis. You see, God is aware of our distress. And this should bring us at least that first level of comfort. We are not alone in our discomfort. We are not alone in our fears. We are not alone in our worries. We have God there. He does know what's happening in our lives. He does care. He sent the prophet Isaiah to the people of Israel to proclaim the good news. Likewise, God also sends messengers today to prepare God's people for that same good news. And what was the good news? The forgiveness of sin. The eternal life that God alone provides. You see, even in the midst of our distress, God is not bored with us. Even in the midst of our distress, God has not forgotten us. But in the midst of our distress, do we always remember God? How many of you, when I was first mentioning comfort and what you are driven toward for comfort, was the first thing out of your mind God's Word, prayer, the sacrament, being touched by God? Or was it chocolate, shopping, toys, gadgets, chemicals of any sort, relationships? What does your heart tell you? In one essence, that's the direction that we are going in. Fortunately for us, we have a very loving God, a very gracious God, that even knows our hearts and knows when we go astray and says, that's okay because I still love you. God is still concerned that He wants to speak tenderly to us. Notice Isaiah's words weren't filled with wrath and saying, for those of you who didn't have God on your top one list, here's God's wrath, but God now speaking and saying, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. We see, we worship a loving God, not a God filled with wrath. Yes, there is wrath, but for those who constantly reject and push away God, those who don't want His comfort, those who don't want the forgiveness of sins, yes, there will be wrath for them. But God here is speaking very tenderly, very lovingly, because God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Now, the conclusion of that first section here reminds us that as God is speaking through Isaiah the prophet, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Basically, the final reward is going to be twice as glorious as what we already had to begin with. This is also reflected in the prophet Job. We may remember Job had a lot of blessings, and then the great temptation, so to speak, came, and all the trials and tribulations, and when that was finally over, God restored to Job twice as much as he had before. So also with the Christians. After we experience the trials and tribulations of this life, because of God's comfort, we will have eternal life, which will have more blessings, more love, more forgiveness, beyond our possible imagination. So God here is speaking words of comfort, speaking tenderly to Jerusalem. Let me go on with our text. Our text continues and is used as a forerunner to do the prediction of John the Baptist. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." Our gospel reading for today from Mark chapter 1 picks up that same concept. That's how John the Baptist began. And notice what was John the Baptist's message. His message was a baptism of repentance, to get people to turn from their ways of comfort that only provide short-lasting levels of comfort, and to turn to the way of eternal comfort. The baptism for the forgiveness of sins, with the hope and the expectation, knowing that the Messiah was right around the corner. After me will come someone who I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Getting back to our text from Isaiah, a little bit later on in Isaiah, in the middle of our text, a voice cries or says, "Cry out." And the response is, "What shall I cry? What's the message should I be bringing to the people? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field." Well, some of you may be saying, "Pastor, that doesn't sound like a very comforting message. That basically sounds like a message like we're all going to die." Well, let's understand it the way that God's bringing to it. You see, for some of us, our physical life is our worry. But for those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ, our death is the gateway to eternal life, to eternal paradise, the promises of God being fulfilled. What Isaiah is reminding the people is, yes, our life is only temporary physically here. Don't be so concerned about the temporary. Focus more on the eternal. The comforts that we're seeking in our daily lives here, the physical comforts surrounding us, the man-made comforts, only last for a little while. But trust in the one thing that will last forever. As God says a little bit later, he repeats the theme, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." It is in God we put our trust. It is in God we put our hope. It's God's word that was that sure foundation. Not the chocolate, not the mall shopping, not the video toys, not the parties, but it is God's word that provides that eternal comfort. Isaiah is redirecting the people back to that word of God. So we are here today as we celebrate the second Sunday in Advent to prepare ourselves for the celebration of the birth of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Part of that preparation is focusing on repentance. Because as we truly take a look at our lives, we have gravitated toward the short-term comforts that this world provides, instead of into the eternal comfort that God alone gives. So when times get rough, and unfortunately they will get rough, when the world seems to be zapping your energy, when fear and anxieties and worries seem to consume you, We need to go back to God's holy word to remind ourselves of the comfort that He alone brings. Go back and receive Him and His body and blood with the bread and the wine, again for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins. Go to Him in prayer. Because yes, God does concern Himself with what's going on in our lives. We are not alone. We are not forgotten. We are not abandoned. But God bestows His comfort upon us. So this day we rejoice in the comfort that God alone gives through the forgiveness of sins. And then when times get rough, we ask the Lord to remind us daily that we need His comfort, His joy, His strength, and His love. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.